Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Tzadik, and we are four lines from the bottom of daf Pei Tes Amid Beis Tanya Nami Hachi. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Matzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus Refuah Shleima for Rivka Bas Rachel. So the topic of the daf is the parsha of Midos and Mishkalos. The Torah in Parshas Kedoshim and then again in Parshas Kiseitze talks in very harsh terms about somebody that engages in business specifically with regards to midos and mishkalos in a dishonest way. The Torah says that if somebody does that, it's toyeva. If somebody does that, he's potentially bringing on Amalek. If somebody does that, he won't have the bracha of Laman Yarichu Yamecha Alo Adam. Another thing that we saw is that the Torah didn't just say that you're not allowed to engage in this dishonest form of business, but you have to distance yourself from it in an incredible way. In fact, the Gemara brought a whole bunch of braises, which was the topic of Daf Pei Tes, with a very elaborate simen for us to remember those braises, that talked about different dinim and different chumras that you have with regards to the halachos of midas and mishkalos that maybe you don't find in other parashiyas in the Torah. Either way, the last halacha that we saw was a halacha that the Amir Rav said. Amir Rav Yehuda Amir Rav, Asu la'adam sheyasha midach haseira o yeseira b'toich besoi, va'afilu he abitchal me raglain. A person can't only not engage with dishonest midos and mishkalos. He can't even have them in his house. Not just that. Even if the reason he has them in his house is not because he ever intends on using them, but right now they're being used as an avitchal me raglayim, so that it doesn't look like it's ever going to be converted to commercial use. Afilu hachi, this is not something that you're allowed to do. We're concerned that maybe at some point you're going to change your mind. This is one of the harchakos that you find that Chazal imposed as it relates to this halach. Either way, that last memra was something that was stated by an amoira, a great amoira, Rav. The Gemara now is going to begin with a brisa that supports what Rav said. A person's not allowed to have a midah chaseira or a midah yeseira, meaning a midah that's a little too small or a midah that's a little too big inside his house. Even if right now it's being used for something repulsive, so that what are the chances you're going to ever use it in a business setting? It doesn't matter. This is not something that you're allowed to do. And then the Braisa pivots. And the Braisa says, Aval oisahu. However, when it comes to making these midos, let me tell you what you're allowed to do. Now, the Gemara is going to mention a whole bunch of different midos. In fact, the Braisa lists 9 midos hayavish and 9 midos halach. So for those that appreciate midos and converting measurements into smaller measurements and then further converting them into even smaller measurements, so this next Gemara that we're going to learn with the Rashbams is Zeir Gishmak. We're going to do what we do. But the point is, just high level, what you see from here, and really what's going to emerge from the ensuing Gemara, is that you can't just make any measurement that you want, right? Because we have a braisa that's going to tell you what type of measurements you're supposed to make. Aval oisahu, dot, 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 right? What do you mean? Oisahu, whatever you want. Just make sure that it's not chesera or yesera. So we're pre-capping it, and then we'll recap it. It's going to emerge that that's not true. It's not a hefkel. You can't just make whatever you want. And that's really the objective of the next part of this braisa, to tell you what you are allowed to do. So first, the midas hayavish. Aval oisahu saw. You're allowed to make a mida that measures a saw. Now, just for the sake of simplicity, we have to find the common denominator. Maybe that's a Freudian slip. So we're going to convert all the measurements into kavim. So a saw is 6 kavim. So you're allowed to make a measurement that measures a saw, which is 6 kavim. Tarkiv, which is 3 kavim. How do you know tarkiv is 3 kavim? Because it's trei v'kav. V'chatzi tarkiv, which is half of 3 kavim, which is 1.5 kavim. V'kav, that's easy. That's 1 kav. V'chatzi kav, which is a half a kav. V'roiva is a quarter of a kav. V'tumin is an eighth of a kab. V'chatzi tumen, that's half of an eighth of a kab, which is 1/16 of a kab. V'uchla en a nuchla. Says the Gemara, v'kame yu'uchla. What is a nuchla? Echad mechamisha b'raviyah. It's 1/5 of a quarter of a kab. 1/4 times 1/5 is 1/20, meaning it's 1/20 of a kab. So these are 9 measurements that we just mentioned. 6 kabin, 3 kabin, 1.5 kabin. 1 kab, a half a kab, a quarter kab, an eighth of a kab, a 16th and a kab, and a 20th of a kab, respectively. These are the measurements you're allowed to use when it comes to Midas Hayavish. Okay, but Midas Halach, what about as it relates to Midas Halach? Who I say hint. So you're allowed to make it from a hin. Now we're going to convert it into lugin. So a hin is made up of 12 lugin. The chatzi hin, which is 6 lugin. The shlisha sahin, a third of 12, is 4 lugin. Urevia sahin is 3 lugin. The lug, that's a lug. The chatzi lug, a half a lug. Urevias, a quarter of a lug. The shminis, an eighth of a lug. The echad mishmoina bishminis, and 1/8 of an eighth of a lug, which is 1/64 of a lug. Vezeu kartiv, and this is what we know as the kartiv. So as it relates to midas halach from the standpoint of lugin, it's 12 lugin, 6 lugin, 4 lugin, 3 lugin, 1 lug, a half a lug, a quarter of a lug, an eighth of a lug, and a 64th of a lug. Now, if you go through the Rashbams properly, extra credit. So number one, the Rashbam converts the kabin into beitzim. Additionally, the Rashbam also marries the lugim and the kabin, because really they correlate to each other in size. One is just a measurement that we refer to when we're measuring something yavesh, and the other is the measurement that we refer to when we're measuring something lach. So all of that is playing itself out in some of these complicated technical Rashbams. But regardless, so the Braisa said what you're not allowed to do. You can't have a midach seir, midiach seir, afilu abet shal meimei raglayim. And then it took a turn and said, so what, yeah? 9 midas hayavish and 9 midas halach. So are these random? No, they're not random. If the Braisa singled out these midas, clearly they're not random. So this is the way it has to be. So the Gemara looked at everything that we just said. Vayaris kol kikar ayardein, and the Gemara had one ha'ara. V'la adenami kabayim. Why in the midas hayavish is there no midah that's made up of kabayim, 2 kabim? So you have, if you go back to your cheshbon, 6 kabin, that was the saw, 3 kabin, which was the tarkov, and then we go to the chatzi tarkov, which is 1.5 kabin. So you had 6, 3, 1.5, and then 1.5, a quarter, an eighth, 16th. We skip 2. So the Gemara's kasha is, how come there was no measurement for 2 kabin? That would seem to be a standard type of measurement that you would want. So how come we don't have that? So the Gemara says, osi lechlufi betarkov, because we were concerned that people would confuse the measurement that contains 2 kavim with the measurement that contains the tarkiv, which is 3 kavim. Why was that a concern? Because they're too close in size to each other. And being that they're too close in size to each other, so the Gemara is worried that people are going to confuse it. So the Gemara says, Alma, what do you see from here? To inchi tilsa. That being that the tarkiv is 1/3 bigger than the kabayim, there's a chashash, people will confuse it. Now the truth is, the tarkiv is 3 kavim, and the kabayim, if it existed, would be 2 kavim. Is that 1/3 bigger? No, it's 50% bigger, right? One is 2, the other one is 3, so the bigger one is 50% bigger than the smaller one. But this is in line with the way Chazal usually viewed percentages. Not always, but the percentage is viewed milibar, not miligav. So miligav would mean that if you take the smaller and you extract an amount, what percentage of the smaller would that be? So then the tarkiv would be 50% bigger than the kabayim, because the difference is 1 kav, which represents 50% of the gav, 50% of the kabayim. However, the way we view it is we add the difference, and then we look at the bigger, and we ask ourselves, that oidif, right? That balance, that difference, how much of it is it of the outer number? Meaning, the tarkiv is 1 kav bigger than the kabayim, and that 1 kav represents 1/3 of the tarkiv, and that's how we come up with the number. It's a little bit confusing, but the bottom line is, it's what's known as milibar. But the bottom line is, as the Gemara, Alma, you see from here, that people make a mistake when it comes to a tilsa milibar. But the Gemara says, so why then was there a measurement of a kav? There shouldn't be. Why? Meaning, once you have the chatzi tarkiv, what was the chatzi tarkiv? That was 1.5 kav. And you have the kav, which is 1 kav. That's the same difference. It's the same tulsa. So the Gemara says, Mamanav Shachi, tell me the reason you don't have kabayim is because you're going to confuse it with the tarkiv. Why? Because 1 is 2 and 1 is 3. And what's the difference? It's a third milavar. Well, you have the same exact issue with the chatzi tarkiv. And the kav, the chatzi tarkiv is 1.5 kav, and the kav is 1 kav. What's the difference? It's a shlish milavar. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela kabayim hainu time it layov. But the reason we didn't make a measurement of kabayim is not because we're afraid that you can confuse it with the tarkiv, but rather the osi lachlufe bechatzi tarkiv. We were concerned that people would mistake it with the chatzi tarkiv. So again, kabayim is 2 kavim. Chatzi tarkiv is 1.5. What's the difference? The difference is not a shlish milavar, but it's a revia milavar. It's only 25%, right? Again, milavar. 1 is 1.5, and the other 1 is 2. That's what the concern was. And a chanami, a shlish is a bigger difference. There we're not concerned that people are going to make the mistake. And the reason you don't have the kabayim is not because you're going to confuse it with the tarkiv, which is 3 kavim, because if that was the case, then we're being inconsistent. You see, you have the kav and the chatzi tarkiv, which is 1 and 1.5. It's the same third difference. The teretz is the reason you don't have the kabayim is because we're afraid you can confuse it with 1.5 kavim. And that's already a smaller number. It's not a third, it's a quarter, which is a little bit less. And that's already too minute. That's where we're concerned that people are going to make mistakes. But the Gemara says, okay, let's meditate on this. Almatoy inish river. Oh, he's saying a river, milavar. That is something you're concerned that people are going to confuse. Then how is it that we had the chatzi tumin and we had the uchla? So we said the chatzi tumin was 1/2 of the tumin. The tumin was 1/8 of a kav. So the chatzi tumin was 1/16 of a kav. The uchla was 1/5 of 1/4 of a kav, which was 1/20 of a kav. So 1 is 1/16 of a kav, and the other one is 1/20 of a kav, which is how much of a difference? Milavar. It's a chaymish milavar. It's 1/5 milavar, which is even less than a quarter of milavar. So the Gemara says, you're telling me you don't have the kabayim, why not? Because you're going to confuse it with the chatzi tarkiv. Why? Because people are going to make a mistake with the riva. It's not true. Look at the whole menu list. You see you have the chatzi tumen and the ochlo, which is even less than a quarter milavar. It's only 1/5 milavar. Now, filo hachim, nobody's worried that you're going to confuse it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rapapa, Rapapa said, midas ketanois bikiyu buhu inchi. Now, those midas were tiny. They were minuscule. You're talking about 1/16 of a kav, 1/20 of a kav. When it comes to very, very, very small measurements, people don't make the mistake. And it's for that reason we're not concerned. But the Gemara has another kasha. The Gemara says, Shlisha Sahin and Revia Sahin, Loi La'avid. So now we're moving over to the Midoy Salach. And in the Midoy Salach, we had a Shlisha Sahin, which is a third of a hin, and a Revia Sahin, which is a quarter of a hin, were converted into Lugin. It's 4 Lugin. That's the Shlisha Sahin, and 3 Lugin, that's the Revia Sahin, respectively. Now, 4 Lugin and 3 Lugin, that's the easiest math of the day, right? That's exactly 1/4 milavar. And if you're telling me that the reason we didn't make the kabayim is because we're afraid you're going to confuse it with the chatzi tarkiv, because 2 kavim and 1.5 kavim are too similar, and we're afraid you're going to make a mistake, because of it inchi detoy beriva. It doesn't stem again, because look at your list. In the Midas Salach, you have 4 Lugan and 3 Lugan, which is a perfect river. And afilo achi, nobody was worried. But the Gemara says, "Kiven dehava b'miktish like gazrubu rabbanon." Now, being that these Lugan were used in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Beis Hamikdash, they had a midah for the Shlisha Sahin, the Revia Sahin, right? Depending if you're bringing a para, ayil, respectively. So, depending on what type of carbon you were bringing, that determined how much liquid of yayin and shemen was going to be necessary. But the bottom line is that being that those midos were used in the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal didn't want to say you can't use them in the Gevulah. Freaking about the Mikdash, not me, Lixar. Okay, meaning you don't want to say you can't use it in your house because they're using it in the Beis HaMikdash. Just say they're not using it in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, it's kind of his reasoning. Now, that we don't do. We don't make Gzeiras in the Beis HaMikdash, ki yadua, because Gzeiras are meant for people that are mortal, people that we're worried are going to make a mistake, right? Gzeiras, Shema Yaviren, Udal Ramis, Bishos Arabim. Gzeirah mishum ashfuye gumois, right? Gzeirah mishum this, gzeirah mishum that. Shem yisakin There's no gzeris in the Beis HaMikdash because the Kehanim was reason. They knew to do the right thing. So to make the gzeris in the Beis HaMikdash, that's not something that we're going to do. Once we don't make it in the Beis HaMikdash, so too we're not going to make it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. One thing that's just gishmak to mention, what was the smallest of the measurements that we had on the Midas Halach? So we had Echad Mishmoyne Shebishminas, an eighth of an eighth, which is really 1/64th, and the Gemara says a lashon v'zeu kartiv. This is what's known as a kartiv. The Rashbam adds one line. The Rashbam says v'zeu kartiv hanisker bahar be'mekoynes. So you find this measurement of a kartiv in a bunch of different places. That's this number. It's an eighth of an eighth, meaning it started with a hin to a chatzi and shlich then revius and then you got the log and the chatzi and revius. What's like the spitz low? What's the ktanin? Shebemidais, it's the kartiv, it's 1/8 of an eighth. Where does this 1/8 of an eighth play itself out? Soita dafer v'ralef, where the Gemara talks about gaiva and toyevas Hashem kol gvalev, and you have to be so distanced from gaiva because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eina nivahu yucholim lador b'madar echad. He and I can't be in the same dwelling place, we can't even be in the world together. Stating that, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham tzarech sheyehei by echad mishmoyne shebishminas. Now we've talked about the shmoyne shebishminas be'ezus Hashem over the years many times. Reid b'shem dehel gechsam Sofer, and from the Vilna Goyen, and from Reb Kiva Eger, and from the Hafla, and we've said over Torah for Reb Shlomo Arieli Shlita, right? Different Rimozim and the Shmoinus and the Shminus, Dvarim the Fla. But Ein Mikra Yoytzim Idei Pshuta. What's the Pashup Shat? And Echad Mishmoinus and the Shminus. The Pashup Shat is a tiny bit. What do you mean a tiny bit? That smallest shear, Zeu Kartiv, that you find in the Gemara throughout. Look at the list. What was the smallest list? It's the Shmoyne Shebishminas. That's the rest of the story. In the Pashup Shat, right? The Pashup Shat sounds like, wow, that's like a Chiddush. No, this is the Pashup Shat. The Pashup Shat of the Shmoyne Shebishminas is based on this price that we just saw. This was the smallest shear. Either way, moving along, continuing to talk about Midos. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Ein Moisifen Ala Midos, Yoisem Mishtos. So if the chevra in a city get together and they decide that they want to redo the midah, so all the measurements in this city are going to be redone, meaning they're going to destroy the old and they're going to create new. And they want the midahs to be a little bit bigger. So whatever the kav was yesterday, now the kav is going to be a little bit bigger. Whatever the hin was yesterday, now the hin is going to be a little bit bigger. So you're allowed to do that. But at the same time, there's certain parameters. In my sifan ala midahs, Yoisa Mishtos. You're not allowed to add it more than a six. So you want to make it a six bigger, you could, meaning ad va'ad b'chlal, but Yoisa Mishtos, that's not something you're allowed to do. Additionally, v'lo yala matbeya yasa Mishtos. If you want to make the matbeya, so that's not our sugya, but the dinorim and the shkolim, etc. So that's also something that you're not allowed to add Yoisa Mishtos. And finally, v'ham mestaker al yestaker Yoisa Mishtos. If somebody is a businessman, is a tradesman, we put a cap on your profits, shtickle socialism, you're not allowed to make more than 1/6. Now, the Rashbam speaks that as it relates to mistaker al yistaker yoisa mishtos, that it doesn't mean a person can't profit more than a shtos. What it means is that if I buy from one person, I sell to somebody else, like I'm a retailer, I buy from the wholesaler and now I sell to the public. So there, we're going to cap the profit that you're allowed to make. But let's say I buy and I play the markets. I'm like a commodity trader. So early in the season, I take down bushels of soybeans. And then the soybean market increased in price. So no one's saying I'm not going to make any profit. So it's in terms of just me as acting as the middleman in terms of how much profit I'm allowed to make, that's where we have that number that it's not allowed to be Yoisa Mishtos. So again, Shmuel said three things. He said, Ein Moisifen Ala Midos Yoisa Mishtos, V'lo Yala Matbe Yoisa Mishtos, V'ham Mestaker Al Yestaker Yoisa Mishtos, which is the one that's most relevant to our sugya. It's the first thing Shmuel said, Ein Moisifen Ala Midos Yoisa Mishtos, and that is what the Gemara is going to focus on. Says the Gemara, Ein Moisifen Ala Midos Yoisa Mishtos, my time. What's the reason? Why, if the city gets together and all the decision makers decide that they want to be moisif, the midos, they could do it, but with a cap of a shul. So the Gemara is going to throw out a few different possibilities. Is the reason because we're afraid that if we're going to increase the size of the midos, what's going to happen? So I'm a moicher. I sell flour. And I used to sell a kav for a certain price based on the kav being a certain size. Now they just increased the kav. The kav is a little bit bigger. So what am I going to do? I'm going to adjust my prices, right? So let's say it was increased by a shtus. So what would you say? Increase your prices by a shtus. That seems fair. But you know what's going to happen? The minute people have an opportunity to increase their prices, they're going to increase them disproportionately. Because if there's an opening to increase, you increase. So the Gemara says maybe the reason Shmuel said that ein moisifin al amidus yoisim ishtos is because we're afraid that this is going to lead to inflation. And inflation beyond what's acceptable based on the fact that we increased the midos. You can say, what do you mean? It's going to be pound for pound, kav for kav, lav dafka. Because the minute you open up a Pesach, k'chudei shal machat, people are going to use that opportunity to open up a Pesach, k'pischei shal ulam. And that's what the concern is. The Gemara says, maybe, right? Is that the reason? But if that's the case, shtos nami loy, then how come a shtos is okay, right? It's more than a shtos. The number shtos doesn't sound like this is the reason. Elamishum oina. Oh. So Gemara says, maybe the reason is oina. Right, shtus is the magic number. Whenever you're learning the sugya of Aina, so maybe it's related to that. Deloy lahav a bit omek. So again, what's the basic halacha of Aina? The basic halacha is that in the event that there's a transaction and somebody was fooled, whether the lekech was fooled or the meicher was fooled, if the dollar amount of the Aina was less than a shtus, then we imply and assume there was a mechila. It's neither here nor there. If it was a perfect shtos, so then the transaction is chal, but at the same time, whoever was fooled has a schus right now to be made whole. If it's the yoisim ishtos, mekach tois. Meaning the whole mekach is bottle, any one of them can back out. We view this mekach as if it never really happened. So the Gemara says that maybe the reason that Shmuel said, ein moisifin al amidos yoisim ishtos, because he was worried that somebody's going to come to a town. And he's going to be selling his wares. Now, he's not going to know that they raised the midos. So he's going to sell based on what he knew the midos to be and what the price should have been based on the original midos. Now, it turns out that the midos became larger. And as a result, he's really selling for less money than he should be selling for, right? So again, if you increase the size of the midos, the prices should increase as well, pro rata, at the very least. If this person doesn't chap that the meat is bigger, he's not increasing his prices, which means he's selling for less, which means he's being fooled. So zok de gemara a geshmaka chap. If the amount that we're going to increase is going to be within the shtos, so even if this guy ends up getting fooled, it doesn't unwind the transaction. Because oina pachas mishtos, and even oina of a shtos, the mekach is kayim. If, however, you're going to increase the midas yoyse mishtos, what happens if this guy doesn't know about it? So it's going to come out, he's selling, but really the mechir is not going to be a mechir. So maybe the reason we said don't increase yoyse mishtos is the loy lahav a bit o mekach, because we don't want a bit o mekach. And the Rashbam speaks it out kishmak. The Rashbam says, because think about it, what's going to happen is a guy's going to come to town, he's going to sell a whole bunch of schayra, and then he's going to have to start going to all the loikhim, he's going to say, this was a mekach tois, that was a mekach tois. Bezin's going to have to unwind every trade that took place in the last week. It's something that's not so okay. And maybe that's the point. The Rashbam just adds one knesh. So you'll say, why is it yes and shtus? Shtus also. No, because shtus, the mekach is kayim. Now, it's true that person's going to be entitled to be made whole, to get his shtus back. But for that, we're not so worried. What we're worried is that you have a whole bunch of transactions that took place that Igloy Milson were not real transactions. But the Rashbam says that can't be the reason either. Sounds like a good reason, right? And also it justifies the magic number. Oh, you're talking about shtus. Immediately your mind goes to Aina, right? But the Gemara says it doesn't work. Because for Amar Rava, Rava said, Kol Dava Shebe Mida, Vishebe Mishkol, Vishebe Minyan. We can appreciate these words a little more now that we're learning the sugya of Mida and Mishkol. But anything that's measured, anything that's weighed, anything that's counted, Afilu Pachas Mikdei Aina Chayzer. Rava said that the halach of Aina is only when you sell or buy something that is not measured, it's not weighed, it's not counted. So how do you come up with the price? I don't know. You take your best guesstimate. Oh, when that's the way you come up with a price based on some sort of obscure appraisal or just a meeting of the minds, that's when you have the sugya of Aina. But if something has a very, very fixed price. It's cheshbin on a granular level. You measure it, and based on how many kavim you have, how many lugin you have, this is what the price is. Over there, the shir hoina is actually not a shtos. I feel a pachas mishtos. Now, we're dealing with midos, which by definition is a dover shebe mida. And if that's the case, the number can't be shtos. Because if you're worried about the yosef mishtos, a bitl mekach, when it comes to dover shebe mida, you have a bitl mekach, I feel a pachas mishtos. That obviously is not the issue. Elo de gemaras, I'll tell you a different reason. Maybe it's the loy lahavip, say the litagra. Maybe the reason is because we don't want that same merchant who came to town doesn't chap that they increased the midos, thus his prices are still pre-inflation prices, to have to lose his profits or to have to lose money. That was the wrong word. To have to lose money. Maybe that's the way we came up with the number shtos. So what does this mean? Zachter Rashbam Zayeg Shmak. It's because Shmuel Shitase said, Hamastaker al Yistaker Yisem Shtos. Right? What was the profit that these chevra used to make? They used to make 1/6 of profit. So in the event that the midos are going to be increased, Yisem Shtos, and this person doesn't know about it, so it comes out his hefsin might be, again, charging the old prices, when really there are new prices, might be more than a shtos. If the hefsin is more than a shtos, now he's losing money. If, however, we cap what his hefsin could be at that shtos, meaning you can't increase it more than 1/6 more than what it was, so then at the very least, this person is going to break even. And being that at the very least, this person is going to break even, so maybe that's the cheshmin of what we're looking out for. So we don't want this guy who doesn't know that we increased the midos to lose money. Again, how would he lose money? He's going to lose money because he charges $10 for a cob. Well, it turns out the cob today is double what it used to be. So he's charging $10 when really he's giving $20 worth of schayra because they doubled the size of the cap. So if you're giving $20 worth of schayra, you're charging $10, that wipes out all your profits. Come on. The point is that we're working with how much profit this person's allowed to make. The amount of profit that he's allowed to make is the 6. Therefore, if we go up to that, if we allow the markets to shift more than up to a six, so at the very least, you know he's not going to lose his money because he's capped, where at the very least, he can't lose his principal. Now, his profits, yeah, that he's going to lose. His profits are the 6, and the market can move a 6th against him. But at the same time, yoyse mishtos not, and as a result, he's guaranteed at the very least not to lose his principal. But the Gemara says, I have a problem with this also. And the reason is because, psei dehu deloy lahavi rav chalei boy, meaning you have to look out for this person not only not to lose his principal, you have to look out for him also to make a little bit of profit. Why? Because zavan v'zavin taga ikri. This is an expression. What? The person is buying and selling so that people should refer to him as a merchant, right? He's just doing deals, so, you know, he should be a deal maker? No, he's trying to make a living. That's what he's trying to do. So if this person is being set up in a way to not be able to earn any profit, then that in and of itself is not a good thing. And really, we should have looked out not only to make sure that this person is not going to lose money, but we should have looked out for him to also make sure that he's going to make a little bit of profit. So if the cheshbin of not increasing the midos, yoyse mishtos, is related to the profitability of this guy who doesn't know what happened, then the number would not have been a show. We would have made it a little bit lower. We would have said, ein mosifin afilu shtos, or ein mosifin afilu chatzi shtos. So like this, we would guarantee not only that this person won't lose, but we would guarantee also that this person would make a little money. Meaning, you guarantee that he's not going to lose? No, that's not enough. If you're looking out for him, then you have to guarantee he's going to make as well. And if that's the case, the number would have been a little bit less than the shtos. Obviously, the shtos is related to something else. So again, Shmuel said, "Ein mosifin al amidos yoyse mishtos." The Gemara thought maybe it's related to inflation. It's not related to inflation. Maybe it's related to oina. It's not related to oina. Maybe it's related to a moicher that doesn't know that they increased the midos. He's selling on old prices, and we don't want him to lose money. Can't be related to that either. So then what is the var? Where did the shtos come from? Elam Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, Shmuel kra ashkach v'darach. Shmuel actually got this from a pasuk. Where is this pasuk? It's in Yecheskel Perik Memhe Pasuk Yudbe. So the pasuk over there is talking about the shekel. And it says as follows. Va'a shekel esrim geir. The shekel is made up of 20 geira. Esrim shkolim. Now this is a little bit of a tricky pasuk. 20 shkolim. Chamisha ve'esrim shkolim, 25 shkolim. Asara ve'chamisha shekel, 15 shkolim. Hamana yelochem is what the mana should be for you. So the pasuk starts talking about the shekel. The shekel is made up of 20 gerah. And then it goes from talking about the shekel to talking about the mana. So again, the shekel is 20 gerah. That's easy. What's the mana? Esrim shkolim, 20 shkolim. Chamisha ve'esrim shkolim, 25 shkolim. And asara ve'chamisha shkolim, 15 shkolim. Hamana yelochem, that's going to be the mana. So what's the mana? It's 20 shekel, 25 shekel, and 15 shekels. Which one is it? Is it 20, 25, or 15? Right? Sounds like there's three choices. The answer is all the above. It's actually 20 plus 25 plus 15. And what the pasuk is saying is that the mana is made up of 60 shekel. So the shekel itself is made up of 20 gerah, and the mana is made up of 60 shekel. Now, just to hit the pause button for 1 second, if the mana is made up of 60 shekel, so why didn't the pasuk just say that the mana is made up of 60 shekel? Why did it say it's made up of 20, 25, and 15? Right? I mean, it's easy math, but still, why say it in such a funny way? So all the Rishonim here on the page ask this kasha. The Rashbam says, V'yesh loymar, D'yesh mekoyma, it's the last line of the Rashbam. Shehamana chamisha asa slan. There were places where the mana was 15 slan, or 15 shkolim. V'yesh esrim slan. There were places where it was 20. V'yesh chamisha v'esrim. And there were places where it was 25. Lokach nemar, shloishes hamana malolu hamana shal kodesh yolochem. Meaning, we're talking about the mana in the Beis HaMikdash. And the mana in the Beis HaMikdash was bigger, it was made up of more shekels than the mana in the Gevulah. Now, what was the mana in the Gevulah made up of? There were mekoymos yesh. There were places where it was 20, places where it was 25, places where it was 15. So what the pasuk saying is that you want to know what the mana of the Beis HaMikdash was, take what the mana is of all three places, add them up together, and that's your mana of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why we're saying it in this way, 20, 25, 15, because those are the three shiurim of the mana, respectively, that you find in different places, depending on what zip code you're in. The mana of the Beis HaMikdash is 1 plus 1 plus 1, or 20 plus 25 plus 15, that's how you get your number. Tosfos discusses this as well. If you look at the end of Tosfos, so Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Meshulam, one of the Bali Tosfos, who said, that you want to know why we have this cheshbin, it's related to Birchas Koyanim. The first pasuk of Birchas Koyanim, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, yesh teis vav tevois. There's 15 tevois. Yor Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka has 20 tevois. And Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasem v'cha sholim has how many letters? Has chav hei oisiyas. Says Rabbeinu Meshulam, that's the reason. The cheshbin of these three numbers, it's related to the amount of letters that you have in the three psukim of Berchas Koyanim. And then he says, V'shema b'medrash ukach, maybe it's in a medrash. Asur Abruf Margolis in the Soitzei Or says, not maybe it's in a medrash, it is in a medrash. A very, very obscure medrash lekachtoy. But the bottom line is, he says, yeah, I know exactly where the medrash is. But regardless, V'yesh litein tam, says Rabbeinu Meshulam, V'yesh could be the reason for this, is meaning, what's this gzeirah shava between Birchas Koyanim and the Shkolim? L'fisha mizbarchin yisrael b'nesina shkolim. Because when the Yidin gives shkolim, and you give tztaka, you get bracha. It's also Yecheskel cheshbin zeh b'shkolim. That's why Yecheskel made this cheshbin, because when it comes to the shekel, specifically giving the shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, to Aniyim, to Loim Deitaira, when a person gives shkolim, he gets bracha, he gets the Birchas Koyanim, and that's the correlation, that's the remez over here. An interesting place is tucked away. And Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Al Amar Al. But either way, again, we're working on a little bit of a cheshbin. Shmuel said, Ein Moisifin Al Amidas Yoisim Ishtos. We tried coming up with regular reasons why. Couldn't come up with one. So Rav Adar Bar Abba, it must be it's a pasuk, meaning it's not based on economic factors. Okay, what's the pasuk? Yecheskel perik mem hei pasuk yud beis, that the shekel is 20 gerah and the mana is 60 shkolim. Not 60, 20 plus 25 plus 15. Says the Gemara. If the mana is 60 shekel, that would mean that the mana is 240 dinarim. And the reason is because every shekel is made up of 4 dinarim. So if the mana is made up of 60 shekelim, 60 times 4 is 240. Says the Gemara, mana masen varban hava? Come again. The mana in the... Now, we're talking about the mana of the Beis HaMikdash. I get it. And that's what the answer is going to be. But for now, The money is made up of 240 dinarim. The money is not made up of 240 dinarim. How many dinarim is the money made up of? So, the Rashbam quotes a Gemara, Ksubas Daf Yud Amud Aleph, a rather well-known Gemara, that says that we know that a besula, ksuba, is Masayim Zuz, and the almana gets a mana. What's the cheshbon of a mana? It's 100 zuz, or in English, 100 zuzim. So really, the mana is made up of 100 zuzim, not 240 zuzim. So the number is completely off, right? Something is amiss. The mana is 60 shkalim. A shekel is made up of 4 dinarim. That means the money equals 240 dinarim. I don't know. I thought the besula gets masayim, the mana gets a mana, which is 100 zuz. Which, by the way, if you want to convert into shekel, would be 25 shkalim. It's not 60 shkalim, right? So is the mana 60 shkalim, which is 240 dinarim? Or is it 25 shkalim, which is really 100 dinarim? So the Gemara says, Elor, Rav Ada Bar Ahava said, Shmamina must be class. You see from here, three things. Shmamina, you see, mana shel kadosh kafalai. This is the mana of the Beis HaMikdash. And you have to say the mana of the Beis HaMikdash was bigger than the regular mana. How much bigger? It was double. Now, double doesn't really get you to where you need to get. Because double says, instead of 240, in popular terms, it would really be 120. Yeah, but the number should be 100. It's not supposed to be 120. The Shmamina, Moisifin ala Midais. You see from here also that you're allowed to be Moisif on the Midais. And they must have been Moisif on the Midais. How much were they Moisif? They were Moisif, instead of it being 100, they made it 120. And if that's the case, you know what you see? You see a third thing, the Moisif and Yosef Mishtos. You see from here that when you're Moisif, you're Moisif not more than a shtos. That's part of the second thing. The Shema Minah Shtos Ulevar. Additionally, you see that when we say Moisifin Yosef Mishtos, that shtos is going to be milavar. Why do you see that it's milavar? Because it's not really a six. From 100 to 120, you're being Moisif, not a shtos, you're being Moisif a fifth. The teretz is milavar, it's a six. Because now that it's 120, that 20 makes up 1/6 of the 120. And as a result, you see from here, shtos milavar. So, a few things. First of all, Shma Mina klas, and then we said four things. Shma Mina mana shel kodesh kafal haya. V'shma mina meisifin ala midos, shma mina im meisifin yosem ishtos, v'shma mina shtusim v'lovar. So is it three or is it four? Right, we were meisif on the shma minas. We were meisif a rivam v'lovar. It's shma mina klas, but then we mentioned four. So the Rashbam asked the kasha, and the Rashbam says that the im meisifin yosem ishtos, you really don't see meforish. What you see from here is shma mina mana shel kodesh kafal haya, right? And right away, the mana of kodesh is double. You also see meisifin, that you for sure see. You see that when you cheshben the shtos, you cheshben melevar, based on what we're saying of ein meisif in yosem ishtos. But really, you don't see ein meisif in yosem ishtos. How then did we know ein meisif in yosem ishtos? And really, we're working with the ein meisif in yosem ishtos. How do you know that? Because that's the third shmamina, shmamina shtos and melevar, which implies that one of the shmaminas is a shtos. Because if the number that we're working with is not a shtos, then how do you know it's milavar? Maybe it's really a chaymish and it's milagav, right? Simple math. But the point is, says Rashbam, that the fact of ein meisif yosem ishtos, now we know misvara. The svara is that if we have a giloy that you could be meisif, this is all you could be meisif, you can't be meisif more than that. So although it's not mefurish, ein meisif yosem ishtos, but if I need a source that you could be meisif, and I only have a source that you could be meisif, but the bottom line is, Shma mina mana shel kodesh kafal haya, Shma mina meisifin ala midos, ve'ein meisif yosem ishtos, I know misvara, because it's a chiddush, you could be meisif. So I could only know that you could be meisif, avifol, it was nischadish to me that I could be meisif, and that number is a shtos, thus v'shtami, Shma mina shtusa milavar. Now another thing that you just have to be ma'ir is that we're talking over here about being meisif the shkala, right? This is the matbeis. This is not really the midos, right? Shmuel said three things. Shmuel said, ein meisif ala midos yosem ishtos, v'lo ala matbeis yosem ishtos. Oh, so this is matbeya. What's have to do with midos? How do you know from matbeya that meisif and ala midos? So you have to say it's the same thing. That whatever the cheshbon was for midos, or matbeya, we're going to assume the cheshbon is going to be for midos as well. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is Shmuel said, "Ein meisif and ala midos yosem ishtos." First, we thought it was related to different economic factors. But at the end of the day, the Gemara said that's not what it's based on. What is it based on? Kra Ashkach V'Darash. It's based on this pasuk. Rapapa Bar Shmuel Takin Kaila Bar Plasak Fizi. So Rapapa Bar Shmuel, he made a midah, and his midah was three kfizi, which the Rashbam says is 9 lugin. Amrulay, they told him. Amr Shmuel, Shmuel said, Eimei Sefer HaLamidos, Yaisa Mishtos. Right, it's too close to some of the other ones. 9 lugin is very similar to 6 lugin and 12 lugin. But the point is, they thought that he was taking the 6 lug and he was making it into a 9 lug. So they told him, this is Yaisa Mishtos, right? How much is the difference between 6 and 9? It's a third milivar. So you're not letting him make it so much bigger. Amalusi told him, Ano kailo chadita takini. No. In my town where we are, they didn't have the 6 lug, meaning there was no measurement that was close to this. I wasn't being Moisef al Amidas. What I was doing was, I was creating a new meter, right? That sounds like a nice loophole in the system. No, I'm not being Moisef al Amidas, I'm making a new meter. Right? What's Moisef al Amidas? Moisef al Amidas was, they used to destroy all the old meters and they would redo them. No, I'm creating a new meter from scratch. But the point is that there was nothing even close to it. And because there was nothing close to it, so you couldn't see it as being Moisef al Amidas. And based on that, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel felt that maybe what he's doing is okay. Either way, it created a big tumult. Is this okay? Is this not okay? Meaning, it's very similar, this midah to midahs that you find in other places. He's tiny, the way he lives, nobody uses anything similar to it. So it's like a new midah. It's a yesh meyayin. He's not being moistav on something that he previously had. So the Gemara says, Shadri la Pumpadisa, they sent this Shiloh to Pumpadisa, v'le kablu. They weren't makablu, Shadri la Papunya, v'le kablu, v'le karule. And they used to refer to this midah as Ruz Papa, as the midah of Papa. Simin oitzri peiris, ein oitzim, ve'im moitzim, ve'im mistakrin, pa'omim, bebeitzin, masriyin, v'loi moitzin. This is a simin, again, that deals with a whole bunch of different prices. Either way, we're going to pivot now a little bit, and we're going to talk about price gouging. And that's going to be the topic of the rest of today's daf into tomorrow's daf. Zok de gemar, tana rabbanim, oitzrei peiros. People that store peiros. Now, the reason they store peiros, says the Rashbam, is because they want to hold on to the peiros until the supply of the peiros wanes a little bit. And then they're going to introduce it to the market at an inflated price. So people that do that, umalve beribus, straightforward. Umaktine eifa, also straightforward, right? They have eifas that are real, that are smaller than the real eifas. And then when they sell schayra, they say, oh, here's my measurement, but really it's smaller than what the measurement's supposed to be. Umafki esharim, these are people that also create inflation, although they do it in other ways. They just raise prices the old-fashioned way. Aleim akasav oimer. It's regarding this chevra that the Navi Amos said as follows. So Amos is talking about people that do bad things. And he starts describing in these prophetic terms what it is that these people do. Number one, Lemar Masayavar Hachoidesh Venashbira Shever. These are people that say, we're waiting for the month to pass, and when we do that, then we're going to introduce our schayra. These are the mafkiyei sha'arim. These are people that they raise prices. V'hashabas, and we're waiting for Shemitah, v'niftach bar, and then we're going to open up our oitzres. The Rashbam says, these are the people that are the oitzre peiros. Now, how do you know these are the oitzre peiros? Maybe the first chevra that say, let's wait till the end of the month. So the Rashbam says, oitzre peiros are people that do it for a very long time. So if you say, I'm waiting till the end of the month, that's not called oitzre peiros. Now, if you're doing something that's causing the prices to go up, you're mafkiyei sha'arim, but oitzre peiros you're not. If the guy says, I'm waiting for Shemitah, oh, I'm waiting 4 years and then I'm going to do it, that's that. Lahakten eifa, that's the maktine eifa. Ula hagdil shekel, that's also the maktine eifa, right? It's the same inyan. Ula aves moizne mirma, right? That's all one and the same. Lahagdil shekel, the Rashbam says, is also referring to malve beribis, because this person is magdil his shekel, right? He has a shekel and then he lends it, and the next thing you know, his shekel is worth a shekel and a quarter. Either way, so the Navi is talking about this whole list of people. Uksiv, what does the pasuk continue and say? Nishba Hashem begoin Yaakov im eshkach lo netzach kol masem. I'm never going to forget all the meisim that these people did. This is pretty harsh. But either way, im Eshkach lo netzach kol maaseh. So Gemara says, oitzer peres kegoyim man. Oitzer peres, you're not allowed to store peres. Obviously, it means something specific, right? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, kegoyim shapsi oitzer peres. It's referring to a certain person. His name was Shapsi, and he was an oitzer peres, and you're not allowed to do what Shapsi oitzer peres used to do. So the Rashbam says that what did Shapsi oitzer peres do? He used to pray on the armalite. He used to pray on the desperate. So he had peres, he would put it away, and then people that mamash had no money to give him their last nickel in order for them to buy peres, this is something that you're not allowed to do. So the Gemara, Avu the Shmuel, Shmuel's father, Mazbin Lahu the Peri, Bitarech Harfa, Kitarech Harfa. So Shmuel's father used to look out for the Aniyim. We're going to see in a minute. Shmuel was also looking out for the Aniyim. And they both tried coming up with a way to make food a little bit more affordable for the Armalite. But they had a different way of going about it. Now, you had to be there, but the metzias is that back in the day, the prices of schayra were a little bit cheaper earlier in the season than they were later in the season. So again, once upon a time, you wanted to buy something, you didn't go to the supermarket, right? You went to local farmers. It was a whole different shuk. It was a whole different inyan. So earlier in the season, before the quote unquote shasa goyrin, things were cheaper than they would later be. So Avuah the Shmuel, when he would sell his things, so he was mazbenu l'peir b'tara charfa, he would start selling things very early. Now, by selling it very early, he's charging cheap prices, which is really not the shrewd thing to do. What you want to do is wait a little bit, unless you're desperate for the money, and sell it when the prices come up. But Avuah the Shmuel Davka wanted there to be schayr at a cheap price. So he would sell betara charfa early in the season, kitara charfa, based on the price of the early season. So he was basically flooding the market early in the season with schayr at a very cheap price. Very good for that name. Shmuel Brei, with the Shmuel's son, Shmuel, Mashi Leperi, his minig was a little bit different. He would take the schayra and he would keep it, meaning he wouldn't sell anything early in the season. He would store it. Umaz ben Lahu betara afla, and he would wait until the price became more expensive, meaning later into the season, and he would charge the armalite then kitara charfa. He would charge them what the cheaper prices were. So both of them helped Aniyim. Avuah de Shmuel floods the market early in the season, so now people can buy cheap. Shmuel waits until the prices go up, and then everyone knows you can go to Shmuel and you can get things, you know, 30% discounted. So the Gemara says, "Sholchu mitam." They sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Tova da Abba Medibra. The meaning of Avuah de Shmuel is better than the meaning of Shmuel himself. My timer. What's the reason? Because Tara de Ravach Ravach. And this is a fascinating thing. Certainly, in a world where there's excessive inflation, and that is, Avuah de Shmuel was preventing the market from rising too much. Meaning, he flooded the market early. Shmuel wasn't focusing so much on the market. He said, let the market do what it does. But everyone will know that you can come to me and you can get it on the cheap. Avuah de Shmuel is manipulating the markets in a good way. Shmuel's not doing anything to the market. What Avuah de Shmuel is doing is better. Because the reality is that if you flood the market early, so now there's a lot of schayra, so then when the prices go up, they're not going to go up so much. Because you created a certain baseline where things are being sold on the cheap. So even though, yeah, eventually at some point, things will inflate, but they're not going to inflate too much. And that's gewaldic, to keep the price low. Shmuel, however, is not doing that. What Shmuel's saying is, let the prices do what they do. So if there's going to be an increase in price, that's what happened every season. So be it. But you'll know you can come to me, you can get on the cheap. But here's the punchline, says the Rashbam. I don't understand. At the end of the day, if Shmuel's selling for cheap, so shouldn't that now bring the prices down? So the Rashbam says no. And that's really what the Gemara is saying. Because Tara de Ravach Ravach, once the prices go up, it's very hard to get the prices to come back down. So if you can get involved early on and make the prices not inflate, yeah, that's a big toyelos. And that's what Avuah de Shmuel is doing. But once the prices go up, for a person to slash his prices, it's not so easy. Or once there's inflation, not so easy for it to be reversed. Yeah, to stop it, to nip it in the bud, that's easier. And that's the psychology of Tara de Ravach Ravach. So really, Avuah de Shmuel and Shmuel is six of one, half a dozen of another. But it's not. Because Avuah de Shmuel is from a global market perspective, actually helping the global market. I mean, it wasn't very global. It's like literally your little derfel. But, right? The point is, Shmuel is not doing anything to the derfel market. And it's for that reason what the father did was considered better than what the child had done. Amar Rav, Rav Shem, Isa Adam es Kaboy Oitze. So we said you're not allowed to be an Oitze Peiros, right? The Oitze Peiros is Nishba Hashem Begoyin Yaakov and Eshkach Lo Netzach Kol Maseh. But at the same time, Rav was Oitze es Kaboy Oitze. He used to take his own Schayra and he was Oitze Peiros. How's Rav allowed to do that? The Teretz is, he was Oysa es Kavoy Oysa. It was his own Kav. I mean that it was own Kav, it was Mutter. So this day you're not allowed to be an Oysa Peres means that you're not allowed to take Yenim's Peres. But if it's your own Peres, that already is something you're not allowed to do. Meaning, Yenim's Peres, I can't buy Peres, store them. No, that's an Oysa Peres. But if I have my own little farm where I have my own little Schayra and I want to store that away, I could do that Tanya Nam Yochit. Zabraisa ain't Oysa Peres. Dvarm Shiesh Ben Chayin Nefesh. You're not allowed to be an Oysa Peres, specifically as it relates to Dvarm Shiesh Ben Chayin Nefesh staples, right? Things that people need. Could go in Yeno is wine, Shmonim is oil, Salta is flour. Aval Tavlin, Beletzne spices. Could go in. Kamun, cumin, upilpulin, and pepper. Mutter, that's already mutter. But medvar, mamur, when is this true? This is Rav's halacha. Beloikeach min ashok. If you bought it from the shok, abel benachlis mishaloi. But if you're going to bring your own thing inside, mutter, in that case, it's going to be mutter. The price continues and says, mutter ladam letzor peris beretz yisrael, gimel shanim. There are 3 years where a person is allowed to be an oitza peris. Erev shvias, vishvias, and oitza shvias. Because on Shemitah, that already, of course, you weren't allowed to work the land. And therefore, if you want to store for those 3 years, right, the sixth year, the seventh year, the eighth year. Why the eighth year? Because you're not going to have until the end of the eighth year. So if you want to do that, that's something you're allowed to do. If it's a hunger, I feel kav charuvim la yetzar, then you're not allowed to be oitzer, even a kav charuvim. And mipnesha machnes me'iru b'sha'arim, because you're literally bringing a curse into the sha'arim. So if it's a hunger and people are mamish starving to death, then any little bit of inflation gets magnified in a tremendous way. So even a kav charuvin is something that you can't be an oitzer of. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chanina lefuga shamoy. We end with a story. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chanina told his shamis fuga, puk atzer li peiris shol yishonim. I want you to go put away peiris for me for 3 years. Erev shvias, the shvias, umoitzoy shvias, and we are going to stop here. So just to come up for breath, exhale, and conclude with one more ha'ara related to the inyan of Midos HaMishkolos, which was the topic of already three dafin, Peches, Peites, and Daf Tzadik. There's a pasuk in Mishle. It's in Perik Yod Aleph, it's pasuk Aleph, and pasuk Beis. Shlomo HaMelech said, Moiznei Mirma, somebody that has a Maznayim, but it's Moiznei Mirma, meaning it's a Miznayim that is fraudulent. Toyevas Hashem. What he is engaging in is Toyeva. The Evan Shlema. But if somebody keeps an Evan Shlema, Ritzoynoi, then he's doing the Ratzon Hashem. And then Shlema HaMelech continued. And he said, Boz Zodoy, Vayavai Kolei. If someone is going to have a Miznay Mirma, and someone's not going to have the Evan Shlema, then you know what's going to happen is Zodoy is going to come. And it's going to bring with it very, very terrible things. What's Pashu Pshat in what Shlomo HaMelech is saying? He's saying that for a person to have Moiznei Mirma and to not have an Evan Shlema is a very, very bad thing. Not just that. If a person is guilty of that, what it's going to lead to is Boz Zadayin Vayavai Koloin. It's going to lead to the enemy attacking. It's going to lead to Amalek, like Rashi says in Chumash. Rashi says, Loma Nismacha, the parasha of Midos HaMishkolos, the parasha of Amalek, to teach you, Im Shakarta B'Midos, Hevidoyek Migiri Oyev. And in fact, if you take a look at Rashi in Chumash, Rashi quotes these two psukim right here. Shlomo HaMelech also said it. Moiznei Mirma Toyevas Hashem, the Evan Shlema Ritzoinoi Boz Zadoin Vayavai Koloin. Rabbi Yoina, in his classic Pirish on Mishle, he says, I don't understand why Shlomo HaMelech had to say this pasuk of Moiznei Mirma Toyevas Hashem the Evan Shlomo Ritzoy. The purpose of Sefer Mishle is not to mention the Dayak Mitzvahs. The purpose of Sefer Mishle is to talk about in Yonei Musar, in Yonei Midos, as in Midos Tovos, right? In Yonei Midos. That is the objective of Sefer Mishle. So, Frank Rabbeinu Yoina, why then did Shlomo HaMelech throw in a halacha? It's psukim in the Torah. Very nice. Very serious psukim in the Torah. We know that. But at the same time, it seems to be a halacha. It's a din. Why is Shlomo HaMelech telling me a halacha? Musar, I understand. Midas Toivos and Midas Rois. Yeah, that is what Sefer Mishlei is. But at the same time, this seems to be a halacha in the Torah. And if that's the case, why did Shlomo HaMelech? What chiddush do you have in this pasuk of Moiznei Mir Matoivas Hashem Ve'Evin Shlomo Ritzoinoi that I don't know from Parshas Kedoshim and I don't know from Parshas Kisetze? Zokra Ben Yoyna. It's muchach that there's some musr that's meant to be taken in this pasuk. And he says, I'm going to tell you what the musr is. The musr is that it's mavu in the pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that not only is a person not allowed to engage in these moiznei mirma, but lo yia l'cha bekischa, even the even gedolei b'katana. You can't even your kiss two size avonim. Lo yia l'cha beveischa, you can't have in your bias two size ephos, right? You're not even allowed to have it. The Gemara says above in Metzia that you're over already Mishas Asiya. We started today's daf with a Tanya Namihochi Abraisa that says that even if you're using it as an Avid Shomei Miraglayan, there's an Isser Shia. You're not allowed to have it in your house. That means the Torah was so concerned about Midos HaMishkolos that the Torah said not only are you not allowed to engage in them, but it's more than that. You can't even have them. Why? Because we're concerned that if you're going to have it, then at some point, you may dust it off, wash it off, even if it's mitunif, literally, and you may use it. Says Rabbi Yoina, this is a tremendous mussar. He says, because there are people that have bad midas, but they have self-control, and they know how to overcome their bad midas. A person's a balkas, but he doesn't get angry. Person is someone that's about gaiva, but he tries to act with humility. You have a person that's a shakran, but he works on himself and he tries not to tell a lie. That's a chashav azach. For sure, there's nothing to talk about. Tikkun amidos. But it's not perfect. You know why it's not perfect? Because if you have inside of you a tendency to be a shakran, if you have inside of you a tendency to be a balgaiva, if you have inside of you a tendency to be a balkas, then although maybe you're not engaging in those midas, but you're being over loyir l'cha b'kischa, even ve'even g'day v'k'tana. And you're being over loyir l'cha b'veischa, even ve'efa g'day v'k'tana. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech was coming to say. He was coming to say, Moiznei Mir Matoivas Hashem. If we see in the pasuk in the Torah that just having the Moiznei Mirma is already Toivas Hashem, like the pasuk says, Ki Toivas Hashem Alekecha Koloisei Elo Koloisei Avel, then you know what that means? That means we have to work on our midas. It's a noifich in tikkun amidas. That it's not enough that you exercise self-control. But if you have this impulse for bad midas, that's not enough. You have to uproot it, you have to eradicate it. You know why? Because in a shvach moment, what's going to happen is you may lose it, and then already you're going to be bully de kas, which is kol mina gehenim shaltim boy. And you're going to be bully de gaiva, which is tayev es Hashem kol gvalev. And you're going to be bully de sheker, which is one of the kitas that are not makabal de pnei shechino. So a person has to make sure that he doesn't even have the moizne mirma. Because even that itself is Toivas Hashem. Says Rabbi Yoina, that's the midah, that's the musa, that's what Shlomo HaMelech was coming to teach us. So I was thinking maybe al pi darkei shel Rabbi Yoina, you could say this in a little bit of a different nusach, and it's based on a beautiful maramakim that my shvager Yaakov Mel shared with me. It's in the Chida, it's in his drashos on Mayadim, his sefer Dvarim Achadim. It's a Shabbos Shuvah drasha that the Chidah gave many, many years ago. It's Drush Yud Beis, but it just requires a tiny bit of an introduction. So yesterday we talked a little bit about what seems to be an anomaly in the parsha of the Midas HaMishkalos. First glance, you approach the parsha of Midas HaMishkalos, and it's a parsha of Gneva, Gzela. But at the same time, there are things that you find in this parsha that you clearly don't have in the parsha of Gneva and Gzela. L'man yarichun yamecha. Toyavas Hashem called Oisei Ela. Loma Nismacha, Parshas Midas Mishkolis, La Parshas Amalek. Im Shakarta Bemidois, Hevidoyeg, Migiri Ha'oyev. We spoke out the Lashon of the Yalkut Shemoini, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, that why am I putting these two Parshias together? Yidbak Rosha L'Rosha. We spoke out Rashi's Lashon in Parshas Kedoshim, where Rashi literally is Mayrach, that someone that engages in these things, he's called Avel, he's a Sonoy, he's a Meshukitz, he's Cherem, he's Toyeva, he's Goyrim, to be Metames Aretz, Mechalas Hashem, Mesalikas Hashchina, Mapos Yisrael Becherev, Maglo Isa Me'aretz, and Rebbeinu Shalom. What's going on over here as it relates to this person that engages in Midas and Mishkal? So yesterday we said that it's clear that this is not just an Isser, Gnev and Gzela. In fact, we said that it seems from the Targum Onkelos, always a good place to start when you want to understand the parish of the Torah. And Rashi ala Torah, also an amazing place to start, right? Ein locha pshutay shol mikra, or as we said yesterday, drushay shol mikra, gedoy lo mizu. But the point is that if you look at Targum, you look at Rashi, it sounds like this is more of a parasha of Sheker than it is a parasha of Gnev and Gzela. Now it's intertwined with Gnev and Gzela and Oina, and a lot of other things. But the point is, really, Beshroshoi, it's a parish of Sheker. And we said, maybe that's a Yishuv to the Michas Chinuch's Kasha. The Chinuch says that when it comes to the Isser, Midas, and Mishkal, there's no Shira Pruta. I thought, by Gnev and Gzela, there's always a Pruta. The Teretz is, this is not about the Ben Adam L'Chaveri so much. It's not so much about the fact that I took somebody's thing. It's about Emes versus Sheker, being Erlich versus being dishonest. We said that maybe this is a little bit of an Eitzah to another Michas Chinuch's Kasha. The Rambam says that if someone is over Midas HaMishkolas, even with a Nachri, he's over the same exact Loisase. Even though when it comes to Gezalakum, it's a big Shiloh, what the Shitas HaRambam is. The Teretz is Gezalakum is about the Gzela, taking Yenim's thing. Taking Yenim's thing. Maybe Akum is different. But over here, it's about the person himself. It's about his Midas HaEmes, his Midas HaSheker. We spoke out the Maral, who says it, you know, Kedarkoi and his Machshava de Genosach. But the bottom line is that, yeah, for sure this is a parish of Sheker, it sounds like, as opposed to a parish of Gneva Vigzela, which means it falls into Kachakronim, right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chaysama is MS. But it's still, we didn't answer the idea of why it is that this parish of Midas and Mishkola is so chamor. And I saw the Chassam Sofer in Chassam Sofer Al HaTorah. This is in Parshas Balak. So Balak is hired as a hitman to go after Klal Yisrael. And then he says, Lo yuchal lavar espi Hashem aleikoi, lasois ketana oy gedoyla. So if you look at the Mesoira on that pasuk, so what's the Mesoira? So the Mesoira tells you certain words that appear infrequently in the Torah, and it matches Gzeira Shava style, right? Where you find other places in Tanakh that this word is mentioned. So the Mesoira says, Gedoyla Mole Dalet. There are four places in the Torah where you find the word Gedoyla Mole. So again, Bilam said, Lo yucha laver espi Hashem alikoi, lasis ketana oy gedoyla. So says the Mesoira, there's four times where you find the word Gedoyla Mole. Lo yucha laver espi Hashem alikoi, lasis ketana oy gedoyla. This pasuk, this is who talking? This is Bilam talking. The next is in Parashas Vaaschanan. Val ha'oretz heracha es ishoy ha'gedoyla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed you his fire. What's the context over there? The context is Maimed Har Sinai. The third place is Lo yilecha beveischa efa ve'efa gedoyla uktana. And the fourth place is Lo yilecha bekischa even ve'even gedoyla uktana. So there's four places in the Torah where it says the word gedoyla mole. Balak and Bilam. Bilam says, Lo yucha labris pi Hashem alakoy lasis ketana u'gedoyla. When referring to the ishei ha'gedoyla, by Har Sinai, Eish is Gedoyla. And then in the parish of the Midas and Mishkolos, you shouldn't have an Eifa ve'Eifa Gedoyla v'Ktano, and you shouldn't have an Evan ve'Evan Gedoyla v'Ktano. Says the Chassam Sofer something scary. It says, Yoimana, ki ha-meshakeh b'mishkolos u'midos, gora mikol oivrei avera. He says, someone that is guilty of this avera, it's the worst of all the averas. Why? She'ein lo hana afilu l'sha. Because he has no hana. You know why he has no hana? Kilo yucha laver es pi Hashem, but in parnasa haketzuva laso is ketana igdoila. Because really, you can't change your parnasa, not ketana, not gdoila. Vim came mimon of shach ena marviach bozeh hagdoila. So he's not going to get gdoila. He's not getting more. You're not getting more by cheating somebody, because you're going to end up getting what you're supposed to get anyways. The only gdoila you're going to get, says the Chassam Sofer, is elo ishay hagdoila. Lirish gehenem. Alkein hizel lo yir beveischa efa ve'efa gdoila uktano. See, he says, what's the shaychis between the gdoila of the evan, the gdoila of the efa, the gdoila of the eish, and lo yucha labis pi Hashem alikai lasis ketano gdoila? That a person says, I'm going to make an efa gdoila, I'm going to make an evan gdoila. Why? So I'll have gdoila, I'll have more. Teresa, you're not going to have more. Because lo yucha labis pi Hashem alikai lasis ketano gedayla. You can't change what's destined for you. Barosh Hashanah, right? Is ktsuvin loyim is loyim oisav shel adam. This is it. Whatever you're supposed to get, you can end up getting. The only gedayla you can get is the ishay agdala. But regardless, again, this is just another marimakin that brings out how chomer this inyan is. But why? Why is this so chomer? So the chida said a davar nifla. He said a davar nifla. We just recently spoke out from the Mesilas Yesharim in Paragimel, based on the Gemara that we learned together a few weeks ago, Bava Basra Daf Ayin Chesam Abeis. The pasuk says, Al Kein Yoimru HaMoishlam BeYitzram Boyu Cheshvoin. Boyu Nechashev Cheshvoin Neshaloidom. Hefzen Mitzvah Keneged Tzchara Uschara Avera Keneged Hefzeida. And the Ramchal B'Lashoyni Hazov is very Mayrich in Paragimel, and he says that the people that are giving this advice of Boyu Cheshvoin, you should make a cheshbin of your mitzvahs and averus. You should make a cheshbin of what you stand to profit by doing a mitzvah, what you stand to lose by not doing a mitzvah, what you stand to gain by doing an averus, and what you stand to lose by doing an averus. Who's the one that's giving this advice? It's the Moishlim B'Yitzram. And says Ramchal, these are the only people you want to hear from. Because someone that's struggling with something, you don't go to for advice. Who do you go to? Someone that has success in a certain area. So he's been there, done that. He's already climbed the mountain. He could tell you what you need to look out for. He knows all that kuli upshuri. So says the Ramchal, if the people that were Moishlim B'Yitzra are not telling you, Boyu Cheshvay, that what you need to know is that that's what you should do. And if you want to be successful in your Avodas Hashem, what you need to do is Boyu Cheshvay. And then the Ramchal says, again and again and again, he says that if this is what they're telling you to do, that means this is what you need to do, and this is the only thing that's going to work. Just to read one excerpt. That the only way a person can be successful in his avodas Hashem is if he's a boyu cheshbon. If he knows how to cheshbon good. If you make a cheshbon and you say, this is what a mitzvah is worth, this is what I'm going to lose. This is what an aver is, this is what I'm going to lose. If a person knows how to cheshbon good, then he has a fighting chance. Otherwise, he doesn't. And then, of course, Ramchal brings his muscle with the Gana Mavucha, Jardino, Justin. We had a lot of fun with that. But the bottom line is, says the Chida, doesn't quote the Ramchal, but based on this inyan of Bayu Cheshvain, that the only way that a person can be Matzliach and Avodas Hashem is if he listens to the Moishlim B'Yitzra and the people that already climbed Mount Everest, and they're telling you, this is the only way that it's going to work. So he says, a person that has a Moizne Mirma, a person that when it comes to making calculations and when he measures things, he doesn't measure in the appropriate way, he doesn't measure in the proper way. You know what happens? If his measurements are off, what's going to be when it comes to Boyu Cheshvan? He's not going to know how to Cheshvan then either. A person that's Erlich with Yenim is going to be Erlich with himself. And a person that understands that when you measure and you weigh, you're Erlich and you're objective and you think about it and you work it through and you don't rip anybody off, you're not going to rip yourself off either. And if you do that, you have a puncher's chance. If, however, you're going to be someone that's not going to be Erlich, you have an Evan ve'Evan, you have an Eifa ve'Eifa, when it comes to being honest with yourself, you're not going to be a person that's not Erlich is not Erlich, and he's not Erlich with himself. And if you're not Erlich with yourself, and you can't look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself and see what road you're going on, and what your actions are like, and what kind of cheshbon hanefesh you are or aren't making, a person that has Midas HaEmes in his bones is going to be Erlich with himself. The reason the parish of the Midas and the Mishkol said the Chidah and his Shabbos Shuvah Joshua is so chomer, it's not so much because you're taking something from somebody. That's Geneva, that's Gzela. Yeah, this parish, that's terrible. This parish is in the Torah for that. But when a person is not Erlich, what chance does he have? You're not going to be honest with yourself. And if you're not honest with yourself, you can't make a cheshbon on nefesh. Because your maznayim, your cheshbon is going to be out of whack. Because you're going to have an Evan ve'Evan, G'dayla ve'Ketana, and an Eifa ve'Eifa, G'dayla ve'Ketana. You don't stand a chance. The only way you have a chance is if you're Erlich. The biggest problem we have is we're not honest with ourselves. We're just not honest. We just make believe. We, you know, take things and we sweep them under the rug and we don't look in the mirror and we're not willing to sit and have an honest meditative conversation with ourselves. And it comes from the fact that we're laced with sheker. Because people that are erlich, people that are emistig and mentioned, they're emistig with themselves. And people that know how to take them as naim and they know how to look at it and they could look at the schar mitzvah kenegedav scheda and they could look at the schar oynish and they know how to make that cheshbon, they're going to do it with themselves. And if they do it themselves, then they're going to be matzliach. The inyan of the midas and the mishkalis is something that is so critical to our avodas Hashem. Not so much when you're measuring cumin and pupillin, like in today's daf, but it's when you're measuring your avodas connected to your schuyas. Because one day the Eibush is going to measure the avodas and the schuyas, and when he does it, he's going to do it in an erlich way. Because that's going to be moisnei tzedek. The problem is that if we don't use our own Moiznei Tzedek for ourselves, then what's going to be? What's going to be when the Eibishter uses his Moiznei Tzedek? But the point is Tzedek Chidah, that's the Chaymer of the Indian of the Midas and Mishkalis. In the world of Drush, it's because if you're not Erlich with Midas and Mishkalis, when it comes to fruit and vegetables, you're not going to be Erlich with Midas and Mishkalis when it comes to your own soul. And if you're not Erlich with yourself, that's a big problem. Because the only Eitz is Bayu Cheshvin. So when it comes to Cheshbonis, you have to be Erlich. Because that's the only chance that we have in order to be Matzliach. But Al Kalponim, it comes out that this parasha of Midas and Mishkolis, Shanemol is a Musadiga parasha. So Alpi Darkish or Abeni Yoina, albeit Benusach Achak Tzas. Could be that's what's going on over here. Moizne Mirmo Tayavas Hashem, the Evan Shlema Ritzoyna, that if you see that the parasha of the Moizne Mirmo is such a Chomerdiga parasha, it's something that's so intense, it's so significant, that it's Tayavas Hashem, and it's Bozodoin, Vayavay Koloin, it ushers in a Molech. So says Shlomo HaMelech, you see what's going on over here? This is what you need to do. This is something that you have to be so careful for. You know, it's interesting. There's a pasuk earlier in Mishlei. This is in Perek Dal, pasuk Chavav. It says, "Pales magal raglecha, v'chol drachecha yikoinu." If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Shkol drachecha, hefsed mitzvah keneged schara, u'schara veira keneged hefsedah." The Vilna Gaon in his Pirish on Avis. So we always say that the Gaon's Pirish on Avis is finding the scriptural sources to different Mishnayos and Avis. And the Messiah is that he based it on Rashi in the beginning of Bava Kama that says, Avis Kari Lahana Dechsivim Bekra Behedya. Right? What's our Ba'avis and Zigin as opposed to a Tolda? An Av is something that's Mefurish in the Torah. So if the Perik or the Masechet is called Avos, that means everything has a Makar. So the Mishnah says, V'havi Mechashev Hefzen Mitzvah Keneged Tzchara, says the Vilna Gaon. What's the Pasuk for this? He has three Pesukim. Mishlei Perek Dalet, Palis Magal Raglecha, V'chol Drachecha Yikoinu. Pasuk in Tehillim, Chashavti Drachai V'ashiva. And then, of course, Bava Basra in Chesam Adbeis, the Pasuk of Alkein Yom Ram Moishlam Bo Cheshman. But Shlomo HaMelech's Pasuk is one of the three Pesukim that the Gaon brings. Shlomo HaMelech already is teaching us this Yesoi. We know this from Mishlei Perek Dalet, Palis Magal Raglecha, V'chol Drachecha Yikoinu. He's saying it over here again, maybe. In Perek Yud Aleph, he's giving you this Musar of Moiznei Mir Matayev Es Hashem, the Evan Shlema Ritzoinoi, Boz Zadoin Vayavad Kolin, Sezra Ben Yoyna. This is Pesukim in the Torah. I know this from Luni Chumash Rashi, and then the Parshas Kiseitzeh. The Teretz is, must be there's a Musar. What's the Musar? Ben Yoyna said the Musar is that you see from here that if a person has a Shayrish, a bad Midas, that in and of itself is a problem. Just like you find that you can't even have the two Avonim, you can't even have the two Ephes. Even if you don't use it, Mishas Asiya, even if it's an habitual Meme Raglayim, it doesn't matter. If it's there, at one point you're going to use it. Feed the Chidah, a little bit of a different nosach. What Shlomo HaMelech is coming to say is, look at the Toyeva. Look how severe and how serious it is when a person engages in dishonest Moiznayim, dishonest Mishkolos. What does that tell you? That tells you that Bayu Cheshvin is so critical. It underpins our entire Avodas Hashem, like Ramchal says in Barak Gimel. That works, and only that works. That makes it pretty serious, pretty critical, which is why the Torah, in the world of Drush, took the Indian of Midas and Mishkolos so seriously.